The Church of England gathers in London next week. There'll be some searching questions on the subject of clergy discipline measures, or CDMs. Introduced in 2003, CDMs are the process for dealing with clergy who face accusations of serious misconduct. But a charity which supports people in ministry has concluded that the system is so fundamentally flawed that it needs replacing. The charity put us in touch with a couple of clergy who've been through it. They asked us to revoice their interviews to protect their identities.
I was accused of bullying my parishioners, and I was also accused of financial mismanagement, of lying. I'd been told about 8 months before that a CDM was being prepared, so literally, every day since I heard that, I was racing to the front door when I heard the post coming.
I had my hand on the front door, and I was just about to go out and take a quite difficult funeral, and a letter came through the door from the diocese. The letter just said, "You're now subject to a clergy discipline measure." I'll never, ever forget that moment. I wanted to leave the village and just be out of the village because by this point I couldn't even go out the front door because the gossip was so bad.
There were two moments which even now I find difficult to talk about. One was when I saw the Archdeacon before the CDM actually arrived, and he offered me a year's pay if I resigned, and he said that was to encourage me to resign. I interpreted that to mean that he thought I was such a bad priest that it was better if I wasn't employed by the church at all. The bishop suggested that they give me a settlement agreement. They wouldn't pursue the CDM, and they would write a reference. They sent me a copy of the reference, a draft of it, and it was obvious that the bishop believed I was guilty. It said that he hadn't actually read my defence, and my heart just sank as I thought, what kind of kangaroo court is this? It just felt like a stab in the chest.
At one point, I had a notification from the Archdeacon, and I might receive death threats. You just left so lonely. I tried to get help from the union. The union rep emailed me one Friday night about 10 o'clock and said, "I don't think I've managed to convince you how serious this is." And I went upstairs because I just wanted everything to end. But my husband was so brilliant. This is how we carried on. Sorry, it still chokes me up even now.
I had to get a lawyer, and they charged £336 an hour. I got ecclesiastical legal aid, which covered some of the fees, but I ended up paying £1,350 myself, and I was astounded that my accusers got free legal advice, which was provided for them by the diocese.
Finally, I was cleared. A letter came and my husband opened it, and it was because he was opening all my post. And it said, "You did everything right, you did nothing wrong." Even now, 2 years since receiving the CDM, I still feel something bad's going to happen.
When the bishop finally got around to reading my defence, he said that the whole thing was maliciously motivated, and he said he had his full confidence in me, and the outcome was no further action. When I was told that, I just burst into tears. Just a sense of relief. Because being a vicar, your integrity is incredibly important. Because no one wants to employ a vicar where there's a lack of integrity. It's not just your job, it's your vocation, it's your home. And frankly, if I hadn't been cleared, I just don't know what I would have done.
There needs to be much greater awareness amongst all clergy that CDMs can just happen to anybody. Some issues are very serious. I think most of us have all seen the Peter Ball documentary recently. Because the situation is essentially in the hands of each diocesan bishop. They all handle it differently. And there is almost no redress of who do we talk to about it. There needs to be something in the way of making it more human.
The experiences of two members of the clergy there, well, there's a working party examining the system of CDMs under the chairmanship of the Right Reverend Tim Thornton, the Bishop at Lambeth and of the Armed Forces. I asked him for his reaction to those interviews.
I obviously have great sympathy with those stories, and obviously not knowing the full details, it's difficult to comment more than that, but clearly it's a very, very sad and a sobering thing to listen to those examples.
One of the complaints about the system generally seems to be that it's opaque. How is it supposed to work?
Well, again, I'm not sure I would have the time to go into it because it's very complex and it would depend on what the matters were coming forward. There is a code of practice and there are very clear guidelines on how it's all laid out and people are given some understanding of how that should work, but it's a complex process. And I think one of the things that the group I've been convening has been saying is that one of our faults at the moment is that because the word complaint is on the measure, technically, legally, quite a lot of people sweep up matters which really probably shouldn't get swept up into a clergy discipline measure process. And one of the things we're saying is there should be a much better and clearer triaging system, and also, as there is now already in some dioceses, some sort of mediation process for those matters which clearly shouldn't get anywhere near something as cumbersome and as important and as strong as a CDM process.
So you accept it's been overused?
I accept that there have been problems and mistakes, and indeed, as the Archbishop of Canterbury has said in his evidence at the ICSA inquiry, the CDM process has shown itself often in many ways just simply not fit for purpose.
And some people will look at the evidence in this area, and I don't want to be flip about this, but say that it sounds as if the Church has not been treating its own people in a very Christian way.
Clearly, there are people who feel that they have been very badly treated indeed, and as any human organisation, wrong things happen and things are done by wrong people in the wrong way. That's something that we have to accept.
What about the role of bishops? You heard the complaint there that the bishop in one of those cases hadn't even bothered to look at the clergy person's defence before taking action. And when he did, he changed his mind and said, you know, it didn't amount to very much. Is that common in what you've seen?
One of the slightly unusual ways the system is set up at the moment is that some of the investigation into, as it were, the facts, in inverted commas, doesn't happen until quite later on in the system. And I think what I was hearing there is that in a way it wasn't till later in the system that the bishop had seen another person's side of the story. As always in these matters, there is more than one side to any story. So I think one of the things we're saying again is that the investigations ought to be happening much earlier in the process. There is an issue, I think, and in 2003, when the CDM process was brought in, it was decided, rightly or wrongly, that the bishop, the diocesan bishop, should be both judge and pastor. And one of the questions we want to ask is whether it was sustainable and whether it's sustainable now.
And whether, presumably, bishops have the necessary skills to act in the first one. I hope they have the skills to act in the second of those roles, but whether they have the skills to act in the first of those roles, which is quite a technical one sometimes.
It is that there is training for bishops in these matters, and there is ongoing training for bishops, and we have seminars and conversations to try and continue to help bishops think about these things. And I think many bishops would say that they don't feel these days that they are properly equipped to undergo some of the very complex decision-making processes they need to make. But I think more than that, I wonder whether it's right for us to think much more generally about what I would want to start calling professional standards and see clergy properly as a profession. And as with other professions, you then have perhaps independent people who come in and are used in panels when matters have to be assessed and adjudicated.
It has been suggested to us that you are moving towards the idea that the solution is to take the whole thing out of the hands of the bishops and put it into the hands of an independent body, a professional body that understands the way this kind of investigation has to be done. Is that the way your thinking is moving?
I think many of my colleagues understand that the CDM process needs a major review and overhaul, and I think we are going to be opening up the conversation with my colleagues to see what that might mean. My personal view is that I think we have to replace the CDM with something else. And as I hinted just slightly earlier, I do think talk about professional standards and looking at the clergy covenant, looking at a document that already exists, the guidance for the professional conduct of clergy, would set the whole thing in a wider understanding of how we care for each other and, again, how we give account for what we do and what we don't do. At one end of that, as many other professions, there would be somebody regulating the professional standards. And I personally do think it would be a sensible thing for us to consider whether those panels would be looked after by a large degree of independent people. But of course, whatever decisions they make, given our system, that would have to be fed back into the bishops as the people who, in the end of the day, are still those people who are responsible for the licensing of all the clergy in their diocese.
That was Bishop Tim Thornton. The charity which has been making the running on this issue is the Sheldon Community, based in Devon, and Dr. Sarah Horsman is the warden there. Good morning.
Good morning.
It sounds, listening to that, as if you're pretty much pushing at an open door now. You've made your case very effectively.
Well, I was very interested to hear what Bishop Tim had to say, because this is a door that we've been pushing and rattling, as you say, for 3 years now, and that maybe sounded like the first creaks of the lock opening. We would really like to hear an awful lot more about this, because it's such an important issue to get right.
What are the questions that still arise in your mind after listening to that?
Well, Bishop Tim was saying that it was his personal opinion that this CDM needs completely replacing, but we've not seen anything yet from an official, obviously Bishop Tim is holding an official role, but there's a working party, we're synodically governed, there's all sorts of things. We've not heard anything formal to actually say, yes, there is now a commitment to replace the CDM. We think that is a first essential. Once we hear that in absolutely black and white terms, then we can go on and really look at, so what does it need replacing with? And I'm really liking what I'm hearing about the possibility of some independent, national, professional people who really know how to conduct an investigation and make sure that the system is properly transparent and accountable and independent and proportionate, which are all things that we just don't have at the moment.
Well, that was the really fundamental point he made, wasn't it? Which is that he admitted that bishops may not be equipped in a technical sense to act as judges in cases like this. And although the final decision has to rest with them, somebody professional should undertake that role.
And I think I'd like to come right back to something you said right at the very beginning, which is that this was about serious misconduct. That's not the case. Any complaint against clergy, whether it is trivial or just very simple, ordinary human failings, are being wrapped up in this whole system along with very serious misconduct. And as far as we can see, you absolutely need to separate these out properly so that you do have a proper professional system with a threshold of serious misconduct. And to take out of the ordinary resolution of normal human failings and the normal relationship problems that happen with any group of people, and we need to take out the threat of risk to home and livelihood, which is why is this threat to home and livelihood for clergy going through any complaint system that makes it so desperately stressful for them.
But you would surely accept that, particularly at a time when the church is dealing with the aftermath of its failure to deal with abuse cases in the past, you have to have a system which is truly rigorous and which people feel comfortable will be just to them if they come forward with a complaint.
Absolutely, 100% that. And we're failing on that at the moment as well, clearly. So that is why we need proper professional and skilled investigation and assessment of these cases that fall into the severe misconduct allegations. And we also need bishops to be in a position freed up, if you like, from that very technical and very important side of things. We need bishops freed up to be able to be pastors both to the clergy and to the churches in the diocese in dealing with as say, ordinary run-of-the-mill grievances, complaints, and where mediation and where alternative dispute resolution is much more an appropriate approach.
Dr. Horstman, thank you very much indeed for joining us. And I should say that next week on the programme we'll be hearing how the CDM process works for the people who bring a complaint forward. Do they believe the system works for them? And if you'd like to tell us about your own experiences with CDMs, good or bad, do email us, sunday@bbc.co.uk. Time's half past.